Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Tesvav be Menachem Av, Parashas Vayeschanan, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 18 August 2016, webcasting from the hills of Judea, where Israel's defense minister has a plan to control the wild asses of men in Judea and Samaria. This was the top story in Israel today. Avigdor Lieberman has a carrot-and-stick plan, as it was described, for dealing with the Arabs that Israelis foolishly call Palestinians, when, as a people that dwells alone, Israel should be resisting that name. One report said Lieberman had already created a colored map of the area and in Judea and Samaria, according to the sources of origin of these Mad Dog terrorist strikers. And those areas that produce the least of them will receive the most in presents from Israel, new public facilities, infrastructure, etc. He has promised, for example, Beit Sahur, which is next to Bethlehem, a new hospital. Nablus may get a new industrial zone, Kafr Abida, a new soccer field. And those communities infamous for producing terrorists will be clamped down upon. He's also going to create a website of news in Arabic. He also said he will deal directly with local powers and bypass the PA. Carrot and stick seems to be appropriate as a description, especially when historically carrots and sticks have been the methods used to prod and lead jackasses to move forward, to make them move as you want them to. Well, I think the website in Arabic is long overdue, but the other ideas, I fear, are doomed to failure for his misperception of the Arabs as capable of acting collectively, communally. He seems to fantasize a village council of elders coming together and resolving that they should teach their sons to behave so that Israel will give the community goodies. Clamping down on a village, likewise, aspires to some kind of collective decision by the village to straighten up and fly right and be good boys and girls. People have little idea how helpless the Arabs can be in working together for the collective good. I know because I've been there. I've seen the other side. The other side of the security wall in Jerusalem. There is absolute municipal anarchy and chaos there. Not a street sign, not a stoplight, wrecked storefronts, garbage in the streets. And I'm sure I know other people who have also seen similar scenes in similar Arab locales. These Arabs are among the principal laggards in the progress of the human race up from its preliterate, uncivilized, barbaric early stages. Look at Syria and Iraq, now in pieces. And it's more or less the same culture in Arab Judea and Samaria. If the English people are honored as having had a particular talent for democracy and striving toward democracy and building democracy, the Arabs are at the other end of the political spectrum in this regard. Overall, Lieberman feels he has a way to improve them, which I doubt big time. I also do not like this promise of goodies. This is not Zionism. None of its principal thinkers dreamed of helping the Arabs to build their communities here, too. Every nation in the world, like every nation in the world, looks out for himself and his people first. One of the names for this is called patriotism. Only when the Jews are patriotic, it's offensive, it's racist, it's bigoted. For Zionists suffered, though, not one pang of conscience, for caring only for the Jewish people. They had no desire to harm any other nation, but the Jews were their principal concern. But today Israel must evince compassion for the Arabs and make nice to them. We must compensate them. I think it's wrong for Israeli politicians to promise rewards in order to purchase civilized behavior from these people. John Adams, America's second president, 1796 to 1800, he estimated that a third of the colonists supported the revolution, the American War of Independence. One third either did not take a position, didn't know what to think, or did not care. And the last third opposed the war, and some of them to such an extent that when it was over, they left the country. They may have agreed with their fellow colonists that London, Whitehall, was abusing them, no taxation without representation, etc., but giving up one's citizenship in Mother England, being a subject of the crown, that was too much for them. They didn't want to do that. So some famously fled to Canada. Some fled to the British possessions in the Caribbean. Some returned to England. And those who did sometimes abandoned immovable property and then litigated in the courts for years to receive compensation. And so in the matter of the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, Israel owes them nothing. And Israel would be happiest if they were to return to the Arabian Peninsula, where their forefathers came, like the Tories in America who returned to England. Because they did not like the new way of life under a democratic republic, the Arabs in Judea and Samaria don't like Israel, they're entitled, then they should leave. And we are under no obligation to be concerned for their welfare. On the contrary, we have been fools trying to make nice to them. That's the Achilles heel of the new post-Jewish Israeli. Forever trying to make the Arabs like us, love us, give up their hostility. With Oslo, some 200 Israeli peace groups sprang up in different endeavors, different pastimes, to reach out to the Palestinians, to nurture good neighborliness. But I say, forget about it. Avigdor Lieberman is not a religious man, and as such he presents the character of a Russian nationalist, shamelessly patriotic. But in his case, because he is not religious, he is famous for a peace plan some years back in which he envisioned transferring the Umm al-Fahim bloc, what we call the triangle as well, to a new Palestinian state. His idea of handing over land in a real peace plan was misconceived and not very Zionist. On the other hand, as a kind of Russian bear defending his turf, his position on the situation at Susia is on target. He said the other day, quote, "The international community's position on Susia is annoying. On the one hand, they talk about the rule of law, but if we decide in law a decision that makes them uncomfortable, they exercise substantial pressure." And he said he was referring to warnings that Israel had received from the United States against destroying the houses, or whatever word he used in Hebrew, at Susia. He said those who invaded and built illegally are people from Yatta, that's a town, Arab town, close by, from where, he said, seven attackers have come in the last wave. And we don't have to give excuses or explain why we don't give them building permits. Of course, in our context, he said, speaking sarcastically, this is a policy of apartheid and racism. For sure. And what's so interesting in this situation is the information in all these news stories behind these Arab squatters who have been provided with material assistance by the EU or some UN agency or some individual European state or other state. In effect, only on the surface is this a conflict between Israelis and so-called Palestinians. This is a conflict between Israel and the same European and other peoples who have given us a hard time throughout history. All these NGOs waving the flag of Palestine are not funded by the Arab states, but states in the West. The old-fashioned anti-Semitic goyim and anti-Semitic Jews, like George Soros, you all saw the latest on him and his leaked emails and his generosity with anti-Jew operations. In other words, on the surface, these squatters are called in the press Palestinian Bedouin, and they don't want to be evicted from their hovels by Israeli bullies, when underneath, this is just the same anti-Semitic goyim, now post-Christian, giving us a hard time. Notice, too, how Avigdor Lieberman complained about the, quote, international community's annoying position when his parents have called them not the international community, but the goyim, the other nations of the world whose role is to sneer at us and point fingers of guilt at us. And why? Because our very existence in every generation makes them feel guilt. And they don't like that. They feel the same guilt Freud had in mind when he said, that's the fuel of civilization without which there can be no civilization. And this is the way it was before the Great Flood, a world of conscienceless violence, brutality, and aggression. Sort of like what's going on in Syria and Iraq today in the age of ISIS, those madmen whose religion licenses them to kidnap Yazidi women and turn them into slaves, sex slaves, who they can rape whenever they want to. And this is another reason why I doubt Lieberman's new plan for managing the Arabs will amount to much. He's engaging in sort of a behavior modification 101. But he's right that in the matter of Susia, Israel must absolutely destroy that squatterville. which is wholly unnecessary because the building, the force behind its creation, are those who live in Yatta and don't need a hovel to crouch in. Alma de Shikra, a world of lies, told about Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah, the situation at Susia is perhaps the most critical and talked about, but we're being aggressed against by the Gentiles in the West in other areas in the country. There is a small adobe school, for children whom the Jerusalem Post calls Palestinian Bedouin, which is a complete oxymoron. It's near Male Adumim. The Bedouin are nomads who feel no attachment to any country, let alone Bedouin uniquely Palestinian in their identity and culture. These Palestinian Bedouin, the name makes no sense. Anyway, this is also in Area C, as I say, near Male Adumim, and it was built, according to the Post, quote, with international funds. And one wonders, why not with Palestinian funds? I mean, when the Zionists launched their movement in 1897 with the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, they began to raise money and raised it from other Jews. By 1904, they had established the first real bank in Palestine in order to be able to manage these funds and use them to buy land legally. And then a common sight in many Jewish homes for decades was the little blue box for the JNF, the Jewish National Fund, where you dropped your loose change as part of the collection of fund to buy land legally. And this fund was established by Herzl himself. Yours truly contributed 10 cents and got a certificate for the purchase of a sapling to plant in the Holy Land. It would be my tree. There was no international assistance to the Jewish people from the Goyim. We did it all by ourselves, and one would think that the Arab nation, so huge in comparison, would have some spare change to contribute here to the welfare of the ancient Palestinians. But that's not the case. I think this entire community of Arabs in Judea and Samaria, like the 70% in Gaza who receive free food and medical care and schooling from UNRWA, the Arabs in Judea and Samaria are supported as well by these other contributions, not from the Muslim East, but the post-Christian West. In this regard, the Palestinian nation, as I state in my book, is this generation's invention. It's this generation's version of anti-Semitism, and Israel should not have to put up with it. Trouble is, we're like junkies addicted to the cheap labor the Arabs provide, and Israelis remain addicted to what the Gentiles think of them. The chief of staff the other day said that some 50,000 Arabs every day smuggle themselves into Israel to work, and of course in every case illegally. What we must do at Susia is destroy that squatterville, and no less destroy the Palestinian Bedouin school at Male Adumim. I would even make a major media event of it doing that, invite all the news media to come watch our bulldozers after a speech by the Prime Minister, as Master of Ceremonies, who explains to the world via the media that classical anti-Jew hatred is what built these buildings and hovels. And it's basically giving the State of Israel the middle finger for its pretension by these bureaucrats overseas to think they have the legal authority here. The international funders of these squatters are disrespecting the right of the Jewish people to be sovereign in our ancient homeland, and Israel will not tolerate these insults, so reminiscent of millennia of anti-Jew insults. This is our land. No Goyim nation has the right to act as if it is their land, or that it belongs to the fictitious Palestinian phantom nation. In this reportage on all of these incidents, there was also one about a landfill going up in Area C, funded by the Germans. The project is meant as a solution for garbage disposal for the Ramallah Al-Bira area. The absence of such a facility has led to scores of illegal garbage dumps that pollute the environment and endanger the groundwater. What I was talking about before, the miserable state of communal self-health and governance in Arab society. Without the financial support provided by largely the Westerners, the European community, there would be no Palestinian people here. They produce nothing, they can't support themselves. The entire edifice of Palestinian life here is the handiwork of non-Palestinians, non-Arabs, non-Muslims, but international diplomats and politicians and bureaucrats in the now dying post-Christian West. Israel has to expose this charade, expose this masquerade. There was also a disturbing report about IDF tolerance in Area C of the presence of so-called PA police. One suspects the human tendency here to laziness on the part of the IDF and the temptation to let the Arabs have their own bully boy police handle some matters in Area C, even if the paperwork of Oslo absolutely forbids that. And there may be the initiative as well of some left-leaning officers who smile on the cooperation. Israel has to at some point, maybe if and after Trump is elected, bury the Oslo documents finally and annex the land. Will there be howls of protests? Sure. But if Israel prepares the move ahead of time properly, which will include smashing the idol of Oslo, a.k.a. the image of an ancient Palestinian nation with rights that has been treated hardly by Jews, this may help. I would hope Lieberman's website tells the story of Zionism in Arabic as it should be told, and in the world. Israel has to make the case in Arabic and in English and in every language that legally and morally every acre west of the Jordan River is Israeli territory. And as for the Arabs in these hills that they have no name for and call the West Bank, Israel will give them every individual respect and rights as human beings, but not receive citizenship and the right to vote for a Knesset. There are 21 Arab states, most I presume with some kind of assembly or legislature, all of whose members are Arabs. So we Jews have the right to have an assembly that is all Jewish. There are a certain percentage of Arabs in our Knesset, a mistake made in 1948, but we live with that. We are still under no obligation to add to the number of Arabs in our Knesset and thereby commit national suicide by giving these Arabs the vote. So many of our problems are rooted in our historic errors in 1948, 1967 of not annexing all the spoils when it was the legal and moral thing to do. And perhaps the root of that error was our defective Jewish identity as a people. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, the last thought of the last segment was our defective identity as a Jewish people being the root of so many of our problems. And I suspect it also accounts for the rising tide of shameless anti-Jew hatred around the world. For almost two generations, that type of hatred dared not show its face after World War II. The examples are legion these days, as foretold at a soccer stadium in Scotland this week. Israel's championship team Hapoel Be'er Sheva came to play and were met by scores or hundreds of Scots waving Palestinian flags. These were met by a few tens of pro-Israel Scots, and the police had to use horses and whatnot to keep the sides apart. Keep the fists from flying, came close. Clearly, this was the latest version of Jew hatred throughout the ages. Like the accusation of the blood libel, that we Jews are vampires, and never mind that it is in the Mass the Christian priest drinks blood. Today is the horrible persecution of the phantom Palestinian nation that we're accused of persecuting, and this communal hatred gives these Yahoos a communal identity. Imagine all the time and effort these people and the money they spent to get together, to organize, and to be equipped with these large flags to wave at the football team from Israel in hatred of their alleged Jewish crimes. And then there was the committee session in the Knesset this week of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Security Committee addressing the BDS campaign in the States on college campuses, and how Jews, as Jews, are now being marked by implication for the crimes against the ancient ones. Fake eviction notices are placed on their dormitory room doors. One can only hope that university presidents have the brains and the guts to identify this behavior as in a class with the kinds of harassment Jews have suffered and suffered in Germany when Hitler came to power. And it's no coincidence that this is happening during the presidency of that secret Muslim saboteur in the Oval Office. His behavior throughout his tenure in the matter of violence and low-class blacks has been virtually criminal for inflaming the situation. He was supposed to be the guy representing the end of racial strife in America, but what has happened is just the opposite. And now it's open seasons on police, as blacks continue to murder one another in Chicago, and all in his time in office. There was also the news from New Orleans last Saturday that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in its triennial assembly voted 751-162 to ask Evangelical Lutherans to call their representatives and senators in Washington to cut off all assistance to Israel because it does not comply with internationally recognized human rights standards as specified in U.S. law, and to end its occupation of Palestinian territory. And that a sect proudly associated with Martin Luther votes this way makes perfect sense given his pre-Hitlerian hatred of Jews. And to make the aggression even more repulsive, the faction in this gathering behind the resolution calls itself Isaiah 58, which is part of an old anti-Jew technique of citing Jewish scripture in order to brand Jews as evil. And of course, the statement they issued called for a Palestinian state and a shared Jerusalem, namely one that would no longer be the exclusive possession of those evil Jews. Yeah, Palestinian nationalism as the new camouflage post-Holocaust for spitting venom at Jews and accusing us of monstrous crimes against the helpless victims whose country we stole. Maybe I'll whip off an email to this church and ask them how they dare violate Holy Scripture by referring to the West Bank as they did when Jesus never did. He called it Judea, as the whole world did in his lifetime. This is the same Jesus who never met a Palestinian in his life.
השם כי טוב, כי לעולם חסדו. הודו להשם כי טוב, כי לעולם חסדו. יאמרו גאולי השם, אשר גאלה מיצר, ומארצות קבצם, ממזרח וממערב, מצפון ומים, טעו במדבר בשמעון דרך, עיר מושב לא מצאו. רעבים גם צמאים, נפשם בהם תתעטף. הוי ויצעקו אל השם, בצר להם. הוי בצר להם, ממצוקותיהם יזילם. ידריכם בדרך ישרה, ללכת אל עיר מושב. יודו להשם חסדו, ונפלאותיו לבני אדם. כי השביעה נפש שוקקה, ונפש רעבה מלטוב. יוש וחושך וצל מוות, אסירי אני וברזל. כי אם רואים רקל וצד עליון העזו, ויחנה בעמל ליבם, קשלו ונוזר. אוי ויזעקו אל השם, בצר להם. צר להם, ממצוקותיהם יושיעם. יוציאם מחושך וצל מוות, ומוסרותיהם ינתק. יודו להשם חסדו, ונפלאותיו לבני אדם.
Okay, that's it for this hot Thursday night. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Eretz Yisrael.